Today on Annenberg Radio News.
And like the other park that I have gone, they like hit you and like they bother you a lot. And there's like people, they don't smoke here.
Curbing gang violence, one park at a time. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, December 2nd, 2008. I'm Brian Frank. 2 days in office and Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas is wasting no time. Today, the Board of Supervisors approved his plan to come up with cost estimates and a timeline for reopening the Martin Luther King Harbor Hospital, which requires massive repairs. When it closed last year, it put health care out of reach for many area residents who are desperate for it to reopen. The LA Unified School District met today in a private session. On the agenda, whether to buy out the contract of Superintendent David Brewer, who critics say is only a figurehead with a $300,000 salary. Although the board decided to take no action in the meeting, many remain critical of the superintendent. He says the superintendent has already ceded academic duties to Senior Deputy Superintendent Ramon C. Cortinas. Brewer's time at the helm has been marked by complaints about his lack of leadership. He's 2 years into a 4-year contract, and with LAUSD trying to plug a $200 million budget hole, board members have to decide if he's worth it. A controversial elephant exhibit being built at the LA Zoo could be shut down. Jean-Luc Renault has more.
The LA City Council Finance Committee voted yesterday 3-2 to recommend stopping construction of the $42 million pachyderm forest. Committee head Bernard Parks says it would cost the cash-strapped city too much to complete the project.
In order to build the pachyderm forest to the extent that they wanted to at a $42 million price tag, it would have cost the city's general fund over the next 20 years something in the neighborhood of $24 million.
For years, activists and some city officials have opposed a new exhibit because they say elephants don't belong in captivity. But Park says construction would be halted strictly for financial reasons.
We did not go into all of the emotional part of whether elephants belong in zoos or do not belong in zoos. We dealt with just the very narrow impact of the financial issue.
The motion goes before the City Council tomorrow. Jean-Luc Renault, Annenberg Radio News.
Governor Schwarzenegger warned today that California is in a fiscal state of emergency and could go broke within 2 months. The state projects a $28 billion deficit by mid-2010. Under the governor's formal declaration, the legislature has 45 days to act. California Assemblyman Hector De La Torre says it's a tall order.
So we have to come up with a proposal that either increases taxes or cuts services to the tune of $11 billion.
Schwarzenegger and Democrats insist that new taxes will be necessary. The governor is already drawing up plans to lay off state workers. Mexican ex-braceros held a news conference today to protest a decision by the Mexican government, which will require them to travel to Mexico to receive compensation for work done in the U.S. over 6 decades ago. ARN's Britt Thorson has more.
During World War II, the United States relied heavily on Mexican laborers to bolster its workforce. At least 250,000 of these workers, called braceros, traveled from Mexico to the U.S. to work between 1942 and 1946. Part of their contracts with their Mexican employers was that 10% of their salaries would be withheld and paid to them when they returned to Mexico. This was meant to provide an incentive for the braceros to return. This portion of the laborer's salary was never fully paid for most workers, regardless of whether they returned to Mexico or not. Only 3 years ago, the Mexican government began paying back the ex-braceros in Mexico. But now, ex-braceros living in the U.S. want to be paid their portion, too. Juan Jose Gutierrez is a representative of the Mexican consulate in Los Angeles.
For the Mexican government to be behaving this way towards those that reside in the United States who were ex-braceros, I mean, you know, it's outrageous.
Many ex-braceros hoped that they would be able to be paid at Mexican consulates in the U.S. Instead, the Mexican government announced a week ago ex-braceros who lived in the U.S. would need to travel to Mexico to be compensated.
To not even be willing to make life simpler so for extraceros to make their claims in the states. I mean, is that showing any good faith on the part of the Mexican government? We think not.
It's estimated that 20,000 extraceros are still living in the U.S. Britt Thorson, Annenberg Radio News.
Representatives from the gas company joined L.A. and Long Beach officials this morning to unveil a new fleet of compressed natural gas trucks in San Pedro. The trucks will move freight from the Port of Los Angeles to help reduce the pollution. The gas company's Denise King says the trucks will greatly improve the port's subpar air quality.
What's really significant about this demonstration is that these trucks are the cleanest in the nation, the cleanest trucks used in port operation, which is great because in the ports and the communities near the port, air pollution is so bad with a lot of diesel trucks on the road.
The South Coast Air Quality Management District is a partner in the year-long program that will study natural gas use in port operations. The port handles about 15 million container units each year. Santa made a special visit today to a local post office. Here with more is Erica Schultz.
Well, this is certainly an important day today, and I want to make sure that we're doing all we can to get the mail delivered.
You have your work cut out for you, Santa.
Well, I have some help too, don't I?
Santa, also known as State Assemblyman Curran Price, visited a local post office near LAX today. With so many gifts to send out, Postal Manager Eileen Veach made sure Santa knows how to get his mail delivered on time at Christmas.
The United States Postal Service offers online discounts with our USPS.com website. You can plan your shipment in advance, print your postage from your computer in the comfort of your home or office, and request a free carrier pickup.
Well, that certainly takes a load off my mind.
After Santa learned how to send his mail efficiently, he spent some time reading letters from kids in the local community.
Dear Santa, how are you? How was your Thanksgiving? Mine was fine. I really love Hannah Montana, so could you please send me a Hannah Montana comforter for my bed and a Hannah Montana backpack with wheels and a Hannah Montana doll? Well, I see Hannah Montana's going to be very, very popular this year.
The Postal Service suggests that after Santa makes his list, checks it twice, and is ready to mail his gifts, he do so by December 16th if he mails it regular parcel post. Erica Schultz, Annenberg Radio News.
It's cloudy and cool today, and we can expect temperatures tonight in the 50s. It will warm up slightly tomorrow to the low 70s with some sunny skies. We're going to see some partly cloudy skies on Thursday and cold temperatures at night. Later on Annenberg Radio News, LAUSD Superintendent David Brewer is in the hot seat. We'll take a look at what it means for the future of the school district. South Park in South LA's Vernon Central neighborhood used to be plagued by gang violence. That is, until a new recreation director started to play ball with gang members to help make it a safe haven for kids and families. Harmony April has more.
Not one swing is empty. Basketball courts are filled with makeshift teams. Kids feel safe here.
I like coming here because it's like games and stuff.
And, like, the other park that I have gone, they, like, hit you and, like, they bother you a lot. And there's, like, people, they don't smoke here.
But just 3 years ago, it was a different story.
You would have seen a lot of gang activity, no children, no parents. And you would have probably seen little to nil organized programs here at the park.
That's Brian Cox. He's the recreation director at South Park. He transferred to South Park because he thought he and his staff could make a difference.
The first thing that we needed to do was we needed to just bring about a different attitude. So we made sure that we went in and made everybody feel as though they were included.
Everyone, including gang members. South Park divides two rival gangs. There's the Hispanic gang, the Playboys, to the west. and the African-American gang, the Avalon Crips, to the east.
They were ready for a better image of what was being portrayed here.
Members of the Hispanic gang had ripped down several new tennis nets. Cox finally asked them about it. They said they just wanted to play soccer.
For now, we've just allowed them to play soccer on the tennis court because that's what they want. They're not hurting anybody. And it brings them out, and they come out here and they work out their stress.
There hasn't been as much as a fist fight in more than a year.
Well, I grew up around here my whole life, all 18 years.
That's Curtis Jackson. He says without after-school programs at South Park, his life, well, might not be the same.
I couldn't imagine what kind of trouble I'd be into.
But one reason gang violence is down in the area is the park's sports leagues and after-school programs give people a sense of community.
So now we're trying to become people again and not be defined as I'm in this gang, you're in that gang. We're now trying to be defined as, you know, we represent the park.
Cox says South Park is the only park he knows with a truce between two rival gangs. Harmony Apel, Annenberg, Radio News.
The King Harbor Hospital has caused headaches and controversy for LA County Supervisor since it closed last year, but the board is now working to reopen it. Hannah Kim has more.
King Harbor Hospital isn't completely closed.
There are more than 70 clinics that are available at the facility, which is now a large outpatient center.
Michael Wilson is the Director of Communications for the LA County Department of Health Services. The hospital services range from HIV/AIDS clinics to diabetes care to urgent care for sick children. But there are no longer any inpatient services at the hospital, and the trauma center and emergency department are non-existent. Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas, the county's newest supervisor, wants to reopen King Harbor. At a meeting today, county supervisors agreed to a first step proposed by Ridley Thomas. In the plan, the hospital would undergo a seismic retrofit to bring it up to earthquake standards. Closing the hospital had a devastating impact in the South LA community. Michael Cosino is a professor of preventative medicine in the USC Keck School of Medicine.
It's a community that is under resourced in terms of healthcare, not just hospital beds, but doctors and nurses and dentists and just about every health resource you can think of.
Cosino also says the loss of the trauma and emergency departments unduly burdens the other local healthcare providers. Clinics that provide primary care have been swamped with patients.
Since the closure of the hospital, it's been difficult, very difficult for us. Our doors are, we get more patients every day and more sickly patients.
But no matter what, many people want to see the King Harbor Hospital reopen. LA County Health Department spokesman Michael Wilson.
We have a singular focus to reopen a hospital there because there's such tremendous need in South Los Angeles for a full-service hospital with an emergency room.
And with everyone sharing the goal, it will only be a matter of time before King Harbor is ready to save lives once again. Hannah Kim, Annenberg Radio News.
The Los Angeles School Board is considering whether to say goodbye to Superintendent David Brewer, and many may be left wondering what happens if he leaves. To get some perspective, I spoke with Dr. Jaime Regalado, the executive director of the Pat Brown Public Affairs Institute at Cal State LA. Brewer's supporters cite a gain in student scores in his defense, but Regalado says many inside the district don't think he should get credit.
I think virtually everybody would agree, or most people would agree, there hasn't been strong leadership from the superintendent's office before Ray Cortinas was assigned to be quote-unquote deputy chief.
So why is it easier now to oust him?
A test of time, because we're between elections. It's been easy to see that he has not been much of a leader, that he's not the one who controls the daily operations of the schools, and he's not really the person who's getting things done.
So let's say they buy out his contract. We're in the middle of a budget crisis at the state, city, and the district level. Is this the right time to do it?
Well, that's an interesting question. If it's simply a money matter, it probably isn't. But another way of looking at it, and of course the buyout is really the key here, is how long you keep a person in a position. this largely, if not almost exclusively, symbolic position. So is it, either way, it looks like you may be wasting money. A buyout may be wasting money rather than keeping the person here for an additional year, or by keeping the person here for an additional year, how much is that person really earning the $300,000 per and perks?
So Ray Cortinas has been, you know, essentially running the show for a while now. Does he stand to be the replacement or at least the interim superintendent if Brewer goes out?
I think there's a very strong likelihood that he becomes the interim, and maybe he holds on to that for a year or two.
So let's say if it's not Cortinas, are there any other options on the, or, you know, any other names that have come up?
Well, not that I know. They'd have to do a national search, and I mean, they may be, you know, they may have a list. I'm talking about the school board and the mayor's office combined, and you know, Reardon and Broad might chime in on this too. They may have a combined list of a top 10, but I'm not aware of it.
Okay, so how does this play out then for the mayor after the, you know, several times struggling with the school district for more control over the district? How does it play out for him? Is it going to help him, hurt him? And then following up on that, how is that going to affect education for, you know, the general public?
Well, we have to wait and see on all of that. I mean, having his person, the person he's very close to and was his key education advisor, Ray Cortinas, basically running the schools and likely to be the interim or the new for at least a couple of years superintendent, means a lot, you know, and especially in terms of potential. But we have to see how that plays out. Don't know for a fact that Cortinas would be anything more than interim, mid-70s, if not a little bit beyond mid-70s. And don't know if he would want to sign on for an additional, you know, 2 or 3 years. It's hard to tell at this point. But is he an advocate of the mayor? No question about it. Is the mayor going to be happy with that vacancy likely to be filled by somebody like Cortinas? Absolutely.
We've been speaking with Dr. Jaime Regalado, the executive director of the Pat Brown Institute. And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
City Council members approved an ordinance today to make it easier for the city to shut down businesses involved with illegal drugs, alcohol, and prostitution. Council members say this new ordinance will help modify or impose conditions on businesses that contribute to public nuisances. The ordinance also requires owners of apartment buildings to provide tenants with relocation benefits if they have a case of nuisance. Now we check in with Matt Mendez to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Matt?
Hey, Brian. How you doing? Coming up on Annenberg TV News, auto bailout, the big three, are back in front of Congress with new plans to save their companies. And diversity on TV, a new report on minorities in television shows, plus what USC students think. Also, want some extra bucks? Well, we'll take a look at a student-created website that gives you cash back for online purchases. That's all coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. We'll see you then.
Thanks, Matt. Tommy Lasorda got a medal today, not from the Dodgers, but for helping promote baseball in Japan. Keep clicking on annenbergradio.org to hear all about it. That wraps it up for today and for Tuesdays this semester. A special thanks to the Tuesday staff, Denise Langeltody, Tim Wirth, Hannah Kim, Dan Bentz, Harmony April, Erica Schultz, Sonny Johnston, Aaron Darling, Winston Chua, Scott Schlesinger, Ed Cohen, Neela Jamie, Britt Thorson, and Natasha Yashar. Jean-Luc Renault is our producer. We'll be back again next year with more of Annenberg Radio News. I'm Brian Frank. Happy holidays.